from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Happy Tuesday. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. We've had a very busy show today, and so once again, we say it often, time's been flying.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yes. Just a reminder, 888-973 is our State Roofing text line. And yes, we do read all your texts to us. And sometimes we will actually respond when we get a chance to do it. And we will choose several of them at the end of the show. We're trying to do it a little bit differently now this year. We're going to choose several of your text messages and try to respond specifically to them to further the conversation.
And if you get a really good shot in at G, we'll include that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and you can put that for me, too.
But I just want to say that I have been proud of myself.
You?
Mm-hmm. I've only given one. Mm-hmm. I've only given one bless your heart since the new year has began. So
I am so proud of you. You are trying to...
Wait.
Yeah,
are you proud of me or the listeners?
No, the
listeners.
Both.
They start to know me now.
Yes. And what I love is that there are conversations. I love that one listener said, I bet if you and I were to sit face to face, we would want to come to the same outcome. We would just have different ideas how to reach there. And that's exactly what we want.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 100%. This is the show of hope.
Yes.
When you're done listening to this show, you actually want to go out and do good in the world.
Well, that's our hope, anyway.
At least that's, that's our hope. All right, let's get to Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Johnny Tsunami. One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves, just really go at it.
Will kids go back to remote learning or not, and under what conditions? That is what a lot of parents in the state, educators, education officials are considering. And last week, our state superintendent, Chris Rakedahl, told our show that Washington is considering allowing teachers and students to come back after 5 days after they've tested positive for COVID, regardless of whether or not they have a negative test, which could mean that you have teachers and kids in classrooms that still have the virus floating around in their body, and they can give it to other people. So I'm going to ask you two to put yourself in the position of parents. What would you want for your child, G. Scott? Would you want remote learning or for them to go around and be around staff and students that have COVID?
I would want to go ahead and take the next 2 weeks off because I believe like Jeff Duchin, Officer Jeff Duchin, he had to say, the King County Health Officer, what he had to say this today, I love it. He's basically saying he thinks that the peak will happen at the end of this month, and he's thinking that it might be kind of good news here in this area locally. That's me thinking on the optimistic side of things. So I know I said early this morning, I said that I would want my kids to not do the remote learning. I would want remote learning for the next 2 weeks. Ursula?
Some students are already having to go back to remote learning. And I think what we've seen in the past 2 years is that remote learning, while necessary sometimes, it isn't as good as being in person, not to mention the mental health aspect that we've now seen after this amount of time. So I'm in agreement with you that, you know, if I were a parent, I mean, would I want my kid to go to school with COVID floating around? There's a likelihood that it is floating around, even with the best of circumstances, because you cannot be 100% perfect. But if you can guarantee that you're going to do as much as possible, and we do move into a situation where the hospitals are no longer overwhelmed, mm-hmm. and it is at endemic level, I think that is what we're going to have to deal with. But what is the default for me would be to work as hard as possible to make in-person learning as much as possible. And if I were a young parent right now or a parent of young kids right now, I'd be scrambling to use every resource possible. And I know and I hear from you, Chef, and others who have reached out and have said, this is just an impossible situation.
I honestly... at this point, I wouldn't have said this probably last week, but now, because my kid, and just full disclosure, because my kids have had, you know, relatively mild cases, I'd say I'm fine with having teachers come back. Here's the deal. For the last 2 years, we've sacrificed. All of us have sacrificed. We've stayed home. We've worked from home. We've had our kids home. And we did that so that we could get to a point where we could send our kids to school, and if one of them caught COVID, they would not bring it home and have that virus transmit to mom or dad or grandma and grandpa or an aunt or uncle or extended family, etc., and have one of those people die. That is why we did this. We have gotten to that point. Every single person that wants a vaccine can get a vaccine. I don't want to hold up society because some people don't want to get vaccinated, because that is really what's at stake. We didn't want kids going to school in person last year because we didn't want them bringing home the virus. Well, you know what? Society is moving on. And so if you have a kid who's, you know, aged 5 to 12 or up, they can get shots now too. I would highly recommend that. Everyone else has the chance. So I'm sorry, but in my opinion, I don't want to go remote if at all possible, period. I'd rather have the teachers coming back a little early if they have no symptoms than shut the school down and keep everyone remote. Mm-hmm.
So I think in many ways you and I are on the same page, or we're all on the same page, recognizing that this is not going to entirely go away. However, I think that we need to move to what some are suggesting for the Biden administration, which is to have these standards, very specific standards. When do you go into that emergency crisis mode? And they have to be realistic standards so that not everything just shuts down, because we can't go through that, especially when it comes to schools. So I think we need to be very clear as to what we are going to be able to tolerate. And so much of that is going to be driven by what is happening with the hospitals right now. Clearly, we have to get more people into the medical profession, because right now, even before the pandemic, it was short and they were short-staffed. And now it is at critical stages.
All right. For this story, let's go to Houston, Texas, where a 41-year-old mother has been charged with felony endangerment of a child. This is after she took her COVID-positive 13-year-old son to a COVID testing site locked in the trunk, and she asked the testing worker, well, let me just go ahead and pop that, and my son's in the back there. He called the cops. Now, Sarah Beam, she's a teacher. She's a local teacher. She explained to police that she drove her son to get retested and was trying to minimize her own exposure to the virus, hence driving him in the trunk. Ursula, is that worth a felony?
Yes. Putting a child in the trunk, even if she may be the kindest, best teacher ever, that is something that could have endangered that child. The 13-year-old felt like he was in danger and called the cops on his mom?
No, the testing worker.
Oh, the testing worker. Okay. Okay. Yep. Sorry. I misheard that. Okay. So, yes, that person, that woman is lucky that he didn't get hurt. And I think she should be charged with it. Now, given that there are some circumstances behind it, she probably felt desperate, like so many parents do right now. Did she want to kill off her son? No, but that was a foolish thing to do. And I think that the discretion is going to happen with the sentencing or what ends up happening. But yeah, I think that that was just a bad move.
All right. So early this morning, I want to be transparent with our listeners. Early this morning, I was going off and I was like, give her a felony. She deserves a felony and everything. I've since backed off that. I mean, a felony, come on now. I mean, that's a little ridiculous. Was she wrong? Absolutely. Should she be charged? Absolutely. Felony? No. The fact that she's a teacher almost makes it like you should know better, even just a little bit better. Like, you know, usually when these things happen in some states where, you know, there are states in this country that don't, the education level isn't that high. You know what I mean? There's states like Mississippi, Alabama, you know where they rank. I don't have to pull out the statistics for you where some of these states rank when it comes to education. In this case, you would think that this lady would know better. She does need to be charged, but I have to back off the felony. I mean, it was a dumb thing to do. It was very stupid. But felony, can't do that.
I think it actually it makes her more sympathetic that she's a teacher, because the way I look at this is she is in a public job. She's working with kids, right? She doesn't want to expose other kids to her virus if she tests positive. She is actually looking out for the good of the community. That is the intention here. And I'm just going to tell you, like, people go to extreme lengths to try and quarantine themselves in their house.
No, but that
and it's very, very, very difficult to do. If you don't have someone else to take your kid to go in and get tested, and you're still required to go into your job, and you know that that could cause an outbreak, I totally understand her motivation.
Chef,
think about
chef,
it.
Hold it, hold it, though.
Chef. Come on, man.
This is a 13-year-old. Leave the child at home.
Come on, chef.
I mean, this is like you're trying to...
I mean, I know you're trying to
leave the child at home to test him?
Save that.
No.
Don't pop him, and then don't put him in the...
Okay, so you're telling me that everyone who went to a drive-in movie theater in the trunk of the car when we were teenagers, everyone who drove that vehicle, they should get felony and we're talking about a lazy lady losing her career.
I'm pretty sure
you can't work as a teacher when you have felony endangerment of a child on your record.
First of all, let me get something straight. I don't know of anybody that's ever rode in the trunk to go to a drive-in movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't do that either. So okay. Was that because
we did that all the time?
Different...
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
With the trunk.
What?
To skip the fees. You got locked up in a trunk to get cheaper movies?
To avoid paying the fee to get into the drive-in movie theater. That was a very common thing. Yes.
Okay. Well, Chef, we are nearly 2 years into the pandemic. And a teacher is locking their 13-year-old in the trunk.
I'm just looking at this woman as a mom. I'm sorry.
Please don't try to justify this. There is absolutely no excuse to lock your kid in the trunk and go get them tested. No.
I vehemently disagree.
And that's
to me, this
have
is a situation.
Yeah, right.
Well, okay, look, there have been people who've been arrested because they left their child in the car in the parking lot while they're out doing a job interview because they're a single parent. This is what this situation looks like to me. She was desperate. She made a bad decision. She didn't think she had any other option. She probably did. But is that a felony? You got to be kidding me. Leave it there. Ursula, what lengths would you go to set up one of your sons on a date? Well, there is a Boston mother who bought a billboard in Times Square in the hopes that she could get her daughter a date. She basically put a full dating app profile up on this billboard, you know, asking people, "Would you date my daughter, please?" Included contact information, all of that. It's an extreme example, Ursula. But is it a good idea to set up people, or does that make it seem desperate?
Yeah, I'm not going billboard style, first of all. Let's get that clear. But I think there's a backstory to this, because wasn't she dying? The mom?
Yeah, she has cancer, terminal cancer. So she wants to see her daughter get married before she passes away. And this is the lengths that she went to.
Yeah, okay. And so I'm not judging anything that she did, but just the idea of setting up in general, absolutely, I'm all for it. And I have had a great success record. And I don't necessarily do it with my own children, who are adults, but I have done it with friends. I have done it with colleagues, and they have always thanked me. Even when the relationship ends, they've thanked me. Why not, though? It's so hard. I hear from so many of my younger female friends who talk about how difficult it is to date in the Seattle area. And not everyone is comfortable with the dating apps. And I have learned a little more about dating apps, and I already shared that my son was sweet on a drive down to Portland, said, "You want to see what it's like?" Because I said someone called me out for not knowing swipe left or swipe right. So he allowed me to see what it's all about. And I gave him my advice on a couple of them.
Did you message anybody, Ursula?
No.
She thought about it, though. I think we had the discussion.
No, we had this discussion. I thought about it. No.
I'm agreeing with Ursula. I think is perfectly fine to set someone up. I mean, you just know some of, you know, we count and rely on these matchmaking sites we count on their algorithms, right, to match us up with others.
Yes.
Well, Ursula or somebody, they might know, like, look, I know your algorithms. I know you, G. Yes. I know what you like. I know what you don't like. Hey, I might have this person for you, right? Now, there are some people that aren't that good at setting people up because, and then sometimes you got to worry, like, are you being set up with a selfish motive? Those are some of the things. But I do think that setting someone up, I think that's a good thing. And I think Ursula, she is good at it. I've known of situations where she's done it before.
Yes, they've thanked me. Yes.
I'm actually more comfortable with the billboard than I am with the idea of setting up a friend.
I'm like, not comfortable with the billboard. Go ahead.
My wife has been trying to get me to set up one of my friends with one of her friends. And the thing is, when you set up people that you know, it gets real awkward when it doesn't work out. Every time you have a social situation in which those two people would have been present or invited, you have to decide, hey, did this end equitably? Are they happy with each other? Or is this just going to be a giant social bomb that I'm throwing into my gathering? I'm not willing to take the risk of saying, hey, y'all would be fantastic together. Why don't you go on a date? And why don't we ruin every future social occasion? Because what is the batting average for dating? Like 5%? I would rather keep my social situations intact than have the small sense of pride of, oh, I set them up. I knew they were just perfect for each other.
Okay, so
and on
whoa,
their
whoa,
wedding
whoa, whoa,
day,
whoa, whoa,
I can be the person that claims responsibility.
So you're assuming that the only reason I would do it would be to be able to pat myself on the back and say, look, I did that. But what I look at it as is I am helping two people out who I think are incredibly amazing. And who would probably not have a chance to meet each other any other way. And in this time when, especially during COVID, when it is harder to meet people in person off the bat, why not open up that other opportunity?
You know what I just thought about just now?
What's that?
I'm really mad. I just realized something. I just realized that a friend of mine who is a friend of mine, right? He's still a friend of mine. He was a friend of mine before I met Lillian. And he knew Lillian. And he never set me up. I had to meet Lillian on a dating website. And
go.
I meet her on a dating website. And now that friend, we still hang out every weekend. And I've never asked him, wait a minute, bruh. Why didn't you ever suggest me being set up? I got a bone to pick with him. I just thought about this in real time.
You should pick that bone with him someday. That'd be entertaining.
Actually, hey, that's a great idea.
Should I have him come on the show and
Ooh.
Ask him?
Yeah.
I should.
Maybe he was looking at you as the suspect person, not her. Maybe he didn't want to recommend you, G.
No, that's my point. And I need to ask him why. I need to bring him on the show and ask him. All right. Coming
What's
up next.
What's my honking sound effect?
Hey, coming up next, I think this story is, I love it. The idea of a pig heart being used for a transplant. We talk about that next. Gene Ursula.
Welcome back to the Gene Ursula Show. Text us at 888-973-KIRO. That's 888-973-5476. And we want to hear from you. And I'm going to guess that there are going to be a lot of you who have something to say about this next story. And this is about a Maryland man who has now lived for 4 days, I believe, with a pig heart beating inside his chest. This is a medical first. Doctors at the University of Maryland School of Medicine transplanted a pig heart into a human, which was this was a last-ditch effort to save the patient, 57-year-old David Bennett. He was dying, and he was ineligible for a human heart transplant. And so his son says his father's health had reached crisis mode. So he decided he had nothing to lose by becoming an experimental subject for something that had not been done before.
I've never in my life heard or seen my dad cry, but I think he realized the seriousness of his condition in the last couple weeks. And so it was very difficult for him to make this decision. But at the end of the day, this was his best hope of getting out of the hospital and having somewhat of a normal quality of life.
This was a 9-hour surgery. Doctors replaced his heart with one from a 1-year-old, 240-pound pig, gene-edited and bred specifically for this purpose. So this was knowing that this was going to be used in a human transplant. And Dave Bennett is now breathing on his own without a ventilator, but he's still on some kind of machine that does half the work of pumping blood throughout his body. But doctors are slowly trying to wean him off.
I really hope that this takes. I mean, I love, first of all, medicine and where it continues to go is amazing. Ursula, there was 3,800 heart transplants last year here in the United States. And we all know that, I mean, there could be more if in the future they can find more breakthrough ideas and things that happen like this. So we'll see what happens. One of the problems usually is that, you know, it's tough for the human body to take, but this particular heart in itself, they have modified it, like they have prepared for this to happen. So I hope that it takes. I thought it was an amazing story and an amazing breakthrough with science. Love it.
And yeah, I agree. I mean, at first I was like, a pig's heart? What's up with, why a pig? But pigs actually have similar organs to humans. And you talked about the number of people who are waiting for heart transplants. I mean, we're starting with the heart. There are 100,000 people who are waiting for any organ transplant. I mean, those wait lists are long, and anyone who has a loved one who's on that wait list knows that the suffering is terrible in the meantime while you wait, and you know that you're waiting for, if you're talking about human transplant, you're waiting for someone to die before, in many cases, if it's the heart or the brain. I mean, not brain, heart. Sorry. Or an organ that is necessary to stay alive. I mean, there's other transplants you can do, you know, while someone is still alive. This is remarkable. And what medicine is able to do is really incredible. And they're talking about how if this does prove to be promising, and if this is something that can be continued, you know, maybe those waits for transplants would end.
Right. Really quick, this is an awful segue. That was an amazing story. But before we get out of this, Heather keeps talking about the whole pancakes thing that she keeps bringing up in her newscast.
Yeah. Okay, that was quite the segue.
She was offering lessons, too.
Yeah, she was offering lessons.
Yeah. Well,
from bacon to pancakes. Got it.
Well done, chef. I just want to say, not a lot of people know how to make good pancakes. Straight up. Most people, most of the time, your pancakes are good. And I'll even take it the next.
Wait. What's the secret in your mind for good pancakes?
Well, pancakes is like, it's like chemistry, you know what I mean? It's like science. You know, you got to really be, like, not everybody is a good baker. I don't care if you have the recipe. Like you said, you asked me, what's the secret? You can have all
butter.
Look, we can get into all of the secrets, vanilla extract, all that stuff. Sometimes some of y'all don't make good pancakes. And one last thing.
Who makes the best pancake? Like, what makes a good pancake?
The taste, the flavor.
Well, isn't it? But sometimes I think pancakes are too heavy. And I like a pancake with a little bit of like a crusty feel. I don't like it when it's all soft.
That's the dilemma. Sometimes it's hard to make that perfect, fluffy,
thank you,
light pancake.
Thank you. It is not easy. And I'm just saying, not everybody can make good pancakes. My mom couldn't make pancakes. Terrible. Hope she ain't listening.
You want to hear my most controversial opinion on pancakes? You should not pour syrup on pancakes. They should be rolled up and dunked in a ramekin of syrup.
Well,
you
sometimes
pour it on,
the syrup masks
soggy.
The pancake. If it's bad, that syrup, the sweetness, it's all right sometimes.
Right. Oh, one last thing, Ursula.
Yeah.
Not everybody makes good scrambled eggs either.
Oh, that is true.
Come on now.
Yeah, we don't like rubbery eggs.
Thank you. All right. It's time to get all your texts in. So text us right now. And Ursula and I, we respond to these texts. We do that next. It's G and Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Tuesday to all of you. This hour of the show is brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Pest Control. Ursula, it's now time to get to those good old texts that we get to respond to. What do you got for us today?
So on that story about the Houston mom who is now facing felony charges for putting her kid in the trunk to get him tested for COVID, 425 says, are the police in Texas handing out felonies to parents who put their kids in the back of the pickup? I didn't think so. That's no different. A ticket, at most, is warranted.
Karen in Paulsbo says, my Seattle cousins would ride in the trunk so father would save ferry fees, so their father would save ferry fees to come to Kitsap County to visit us.
I noticed that Chef has put all the text messages that agree with him.
You already know.
Yeah, and so I just want to point out. Yeah. Okay, by the way, so you guys know, we only get the text messages combined, and we don't even have a chance to check through them.
It's not real fair, is it?
So I want to point out that there were others who said, Chef is clearly off the chain today. Chef, would you put your own son Matthew in a trunk?
But at age 5, no. 13, yes.
Yeah, but I did find out that there are a lot of people who did ride in the trunk to get away from
I saw that too, Ursula. There was
Go ahead.
We're the minority on this
one. Yes. Okay, on the topic of should you give the ring back if you break the engagement, 253 says, if I propose to a woman and she says no, she doesn't get the ring. So what's the difference if she initially says yes, then later changes her mind? The ring goes back if the receiver of the ring backs out or doesn't agree to marry, plain and simple.
Well, I like this angle right here. What if the guy turns out to be a jerk, a cheater? You learn he's been hiding his bad credit and his debt. Shouldn't you get to keep the ring then? Don't women deserve some sort of payment for putting their life on hold? Your thoughts, Ursula?
I don't even go with that. I go with the once you give a gift, I look at it as a gift. Once you give a gift, you shouldn't expect it to come back unless you have that discussion beforehand and say, hey, I'm giving you this ring, but this is on the promise that we do get married. And if we don't, I am expecting this ring to come back. Just make it real clear in the beginning.
Earlier today, I said that I need reimbursement on my engagement ring since each person should buy their own. 253 says, women want equality until it comes to spending their own money. Then it's tradition.
Oh! Written like a guy.
You agree with that, Ursula? Equality when it's convenient?
Check, please.
Yeah, you know where I want it? I will go with this when women are actually paid equally. How's that? And when women have equal voices at the table.
Wait,
how about
Ursula,
that?
Ursula, yeah. You don't
want to. That's
wanna,
not fair.
Yeah. Wait, Ursula, you don't want a raise in pay, do you?
Yeah, I do.
No.
Of course. Yeah, I do.
Okay,
you throw that little thing in there, and that's way more of a discussion.
What's Roger? Well, Roger and Fife says, G, you might want to have the horn in Lillian's car turned off. All right.
I can't wait to hear about your conversation with Lillian about the engagement ring. I cannot wait. When it comes to the first pig-to-human heart transplant, 425 says, for anyone who thinks this is weird, you would do anything to save the life of your loved one if they have a guaranteed death sentence. 100% of people who choose this, if it works, so long as that they're not religiously forbidden from putting pork in their body. It's a shame people won't take the same position with preventing a life-threatening condition. Get the vaccine, folks.
Well, I thought we were going to have pancakes on this text line, and we don't, Ursula.
Well,
that was
we're
a hot topic.
We're going to add that here because someone said, Ursula, the key to great pancakes, oh my gosh, now it just bounced away. Okay, this is from JR. What makes a good pancake? Try substituting water for milk. Don't use corn oil. Really, cakes need clarified butter. Low, even heat, just 2 minutes per side. There you go.
Wow. I can definitely do the 2 minutes per side. I'd be good at that.
Okay,
my pancakes are usually not good for the butter and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Vanilla extract and all that.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Eggs aren't good either. Eggs, a lot of people don't make good eggs.
Club soda instead of water. It makes it light and fluffy. How's
now,
that?
Now, I've never heard of that. That sounds like that would work.
That's some innovative stuff right there.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Ursula, time for your words to live by.
Our words to live by are this. If I can, I will not step on you and Chef when we do the show. when I talk over you, and I don't mean to, and I just want everyone who gets annoyed by that to know that I don't mean to do that. And I apologize. It's just that I cannot see you speaking right now.
It's hard.
It is hard.
It's really hard.
It's Ursula's way of saying she misses you.
Yeah, No. That's my way of saying, too, that I don't mean to be rude. I will always acknowledge when I do something that I think, hey, that's not cool. But most importantly, I wish all of you an awesome day.
And boy, agree to disagree is so good when Chef is in the building.
This one in particular, it was a bozo move, in my opinion.
Hey, I thought you just said you're going to be nice.
But I will still call out when things are wrong.
Ursula, I just want you to know that your career was almost going down the drain recently, and I course corrected.
Yeah, and I course corrected for you too. Pancakes, anyone?
Maybe we'll call Earth, Wind, and Fire for you. Get some other work for you.
All right, let's get on out of here so I can save myself. Thank you, Ursula. Appreciate you, my friend.
Appreciate you.
Chef, thank you for all you do. Appreciate you, man. And Nick, keep bringing that fire every day.
Thank you, my friend.
That double Dutch butts with war, that was it.
Ooh,
right there.
I knew you were going to mention something about that. We need to put your friend on blast, by the way, for why you didn't get connected with Lillian from him.
Yeah, you know what? We need to bring him to the show. Hey, we'll do this again tomorrow. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that, and be good.